Hello and welcome to episode 328 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is October 24th, 2022. I am Rollo McFlugel, and returning back to the show, we thought we lost him forever, Slappy Jones. Welcome back, Slappy.
That's right, baby. I'm back.
Did you have a good vacation?
Wonderful vacation. You know what? Through my vacation, the Phillies won the National League. We have a new baby. It was my birthday. It was a great vacation.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So now we're back. Thanks for giving me that week off too. I appreciate that. I know I don't get too many paid days off, but I do appreciate that. Mm-hmm. The McFlugel Inc. is very generous with their benefits, so I'm just thankful to work for a great company like McFlugel.
We try to be. But how about them Phils?
How about it? Wild game, man. Wild series. They won in five games, but a pretty entertaining. Now, of course, my team won, but an entertaining series.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
Phils were up four and blew one. They were down four and won. You know. Mm-hmm. It's a good pitcher's duels.
Bryce Harper's pretty good at baseball in the clutch.
Nah, that's what you write corny movies about. Like the star gets the at bat and hits the home run. That's what kids dream about. That was awesome.
For sure. Yeah, that was really that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know that's what he's up there to do.
He's not up there to
hit a single and keep the inning going and move the runner. He's up there to take the lead in the bottom of the eighth inning.
And I remember him back in when he was playing for Washington, maybe it was, I'm not going to know the year, but I believe they were in the championship series. I can't even remember who they were playing, but he had an at bat and he went up there hacking at three straight pitches and struck out. And I remember thinking it was around the time Ryan Howard looked at strike three in a championship series deciding game. And even though Harper struck out on swinging at a high fastball, like he likes to do, I remember thinking, at least he's aggressive and getting after it. And then where you fast forward to now. So I don't remember what year that was. How did he lay off that 1-2 pitch? I have no idea.
Oh, that was insane.
But he was just, I think the Bryce Harper, younger Bryce Harper, who's aggressive, would be swinging at that because he just wants a hit. He's a competitor. He wanted to hit the ball. But he was so focused, he was able to lay off that pitch, which was a great pitch. It just broke, went low for ball two. And then he blasted that one to opposite field. Incredible at bat.
Yeah, and to lay off that. I mean, that's a pretty good example of just showing how a guy who's back that first example when he was in Washington. I mean, he was a stud back then, but what happens when you become a little older, get more patience.
You can see him. This is one of the first times, we're at the age now where we see people's full career, And Harper was such a prodigy in baseball. He was the LeBron James. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Everyone knew who he was when he was 16,
Right.
And he had an attitude and he was arrogant and show, but it was the way he was. He was really hard to take, I guess, if you weren't a Nationals fan. And now you see how much he's matured over the years. And it's just a team. I mean, the team loves him. He's all about the team, and they're successful. And he's still a superstar. So just really fun to watch. And he gets to play for the team I like. So
that helps. Did you see his post-game interview where they asked him about the fans?
He's been very smart to talk. Well, I do think that place. I was down there for the 2008 World Series when they won, and then the championship NLCS in the following year when they went on to the World Series. But the place gets loud, which I know every stadium does. But that's you got to when you play 162 games, and no matter what city you play in, your stadium's not going to be that loud. It's baseball.
Right.
You got to feed off that. There's no way that doesn't affect you as an athlete.
Yeah, so he just cemented himself as
especially if they win,
darling of Philadelphia, with those comments.
Yeah,
it's exactly what everyone wanted to hear.
Yeah, he's very smart in that. And the Astros are pretty good, though. So,
oh, yeah.
If they can beat the Astros, that would just be incredible.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I didn't think they would get past the Braves.
I mean, they weren't playing well in September.
Right.
So I didn't really expect much from them in the playoffs. So it's certainly a surprise to me.
But, yeah, it's an exciting time to be a Phillies or a Philadelphia fan. Eagles are still undefeated.
The Flyers have fallen off their pace. Yeah, they're still undefeated another week through week seven. So
the Flyers are 4-2.
So they're a little off their pace as they were on the first three games.
But I think most people thought that it would take about 20 games for them to get 4 wins. So. I think I was the only optimistic one in the city.
Probably.
So you can call it optimistic or stupid.
Yeah. And they've had some good comebacks early on in this season. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, and they're playing without a lot of their best players.
Yeah.
Ellis is out. I mean, Ellis' career might be over, which would be a huge shame. Couturier's out. Rosalainen's out. Atkinson's out. So they've got a lot of big pieces that are still waiting to come in. So
they'll be back in time to raise the cup over their head.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to have, you know, 3 consecutive championships.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be nice.
Yeah, because the Eagles pretty much already won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And the Phils are going to beat the Astros. I don't know who was that games. Earlier saying that the Astros are pretty good. I don't know. The Phillies are obviously winning that series.
Well, what we need is for Astros fans to come out with this really terrible music video kind of thing.
That actually hurt me to watch.
Yes. All the comments were like, well, Phillies by 14,000.
Yeah.
Or the Phillies in 3.
I just don't know how they found. There was like, I don't know, what, 6 or 7 men, like grown men in that thing? In that video?
Yeah, like I tend to think that everyone, like I think pretty much most sports cities are the same. Like Philadelphia gets a bad rap for stuff.
Yeah.
That
would never that would never happen in Philadelphia.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's to a degree, like, you have bad fans everywhere, and when they say, oh, Philly fans are so bad, like, everyone ignores all the other cities that do terrible things. And it's just because that's the thing. We like to rag on Philly because it's Philly. But, yeah, like, that just would not happen in Philadelphia. Like,
there's
those guys,
no possible way that happens in Philadelphia.
Like, the people that would rip them the hardest would be other...
They never would have made it. That just would not have happened.
Yeah, it just couldn't have happened.
Even if someone wrote it and tried to perform it, it just wouldn't have. It never would have got to that point.
Right. And so that just makes it all the better.
Yeah.
I know that has nothing to do with the outcome of the series, but.
Yeah. I think I don't know a whole lot about San Diego, but I don't think there's too many people from San Diego. Like, you move to San Diego. So I can't imagine they have a huge, strong fan base. You know what I mean?
True.
Sure, they have fans. And, you know, if you live there, you probably root for the Padres. But it's not like generations growing up watching the Phillies.
Yeah.
So it's probably a little different in that respect. Because I know it's a big Navy town, and it's California. People move there.
Yep. Also, how'd you like that bump by Gresham?
How about him having an at-bat? He went 0 for the series.
Yeah.
And I guess he can tell his kid he had an RBI to take the lead in the NLCS. I guess those counts an RBI. But he had an at-bat where they scored the go-ahead run. You have a man on second, no outs. This guy who hasn't had a hit up in 2 wild pitches scores a run.
Wait, what?
When they went up 3-2. I know the bunt in the 9th inning.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure. I guess he was trying to get a base hit there.
Yeah, the wild pitches.
Yeah, but he was batting for those wild pitches, which makes it like...
Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize that. That's funny.
Yeah. And it looked like it was raining pretty hard down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think – was Dominguez pitching at that point?
Yeah, that was Sir Anthony.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid. And I guess he just couldn't grip the ball the way he wanted to because they were bad.
Yeah.
And he did it three times. Real Muto stopped one of them, but the other two got by.
Yep.
Oh, anyway, good weekend for baseball.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't have much time. I have even less time than I did last week, but we'll do now that we're halfway through of our recording time talking about Philadelphia sports, which I'm sure everyone wanted to hear.
Everyone was dying to hear.
But yeah, I'm still down in the South. Exploring some doing on a scouting mission to see if I can't expand Ralabama.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, I guess the one thing that we had to talk about this week was, and we talk about this every so often, but the immigration borders thing has come up again. And this was like the big thing. What was it? I think it was like back in 2016, maybe. It was like 6 or 7 years ago, I think.
Yeah, when Trump was running, it was a big talking point.
Yeah.
Which would have been 2016.
With all these issues that come up in the libertarian stuff, it's probably just on the cycles of elections because it's all of a sudden, well, we got to fight, you know. There's always a tendency for a lot of libertarians to be a little bit more anti-leftist than anything else. And I can, you know, empathize that with a little bit. They are terrible, brutal people. But there's this tendency for some people to say, well, you know, I'm a libertarian, or maybe people don't identify as libertarian anymore. But they're kind of in our general realm, and they say, well, the liberals are so bad, we need to kind of align with Republicans or the more right-wing people to just fight these guys. And so now on these, you know, not even hot-button issues, because is the borders even a talking point right now in, like, the normie sphere?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't watch the news, though, so I don't know. I guess they were just shipping some of these migrants all over the place, so that might have brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen some political ads where they'll be like, so-and-so was killed by an illegal Biden.
Yeah, I've seen that, too.
So I guess it's around. I mean, it's not a nothing issue.
Right. I mean, if you can – it's always an issue. You can bring it up to the right or the left and say, hey, what do you think about the borders? And yeah, you kind of know the canned answers between the two sides. But it's not like it's especially hot right now outside of –
That's probably correct.
Yeah, our circles. And so it got brought up again. And the last time it did, six or whenever it was back in the day, it was like the whole Liberty Hangout thing. And
are they still around in business? I haven't seen them much.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think they are, but I think they're so off the reservation or just doing whatever they're doing that just like the sides just don't even interact anymore at all.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing their, you know, whatever thing. But I remember back then because they were ANCAPs back then, and the kind of the same story happened with a lot of these guys is that it was, well, actually, this issue, we need to kind of use the state a little bit to, you know, get us to a point where we can deal with this problem in a more libertarian way. But right now, because of welfare, crime, blah, 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 you know, we have to restrict the borders or whatever. I think that's the basis for most of these arguments. And I wrote like 15,000 articles back then. They're all on McFlugel.com. If you search for like McFlugel immigration, you'll find all these articles. And The frustrating thing back then was that they never really had an argument. It was all just kind of like emotional appeals and kind of this consequentialist kind of argument that wasn't actually rooted in anything. So it was frustrating because you never had, like, if you're trying to make, especially because these people were trying to make, you know, the libertarian case for this, but they never had anything that was remotely coherent. And now we're having a new group of people kind of doing the same thing. And, you know, frankly, a lot of these people were, you know, pretty ardently against Liberty Hangout back then. And ripping on them for being statists and eventually monarchists, which is funny, which is the same thing. It's amazing. It's amazing how tight these cycles are. It's the same thing over and over again.
That's right. I forget.
It's cookie cutter.
No, this again, is, this is new. This is something that some guy made up recently, right?
Yeah. But again, like, they're trying to argue immigration and the borders on libertarian grounds, or at least to show us that we're, I don't even know, maybe I don't want to put words in everyone's mouths because I'm sure different people have different arguments. But they're like, from my gathering of what's going on, is they're trying to argue that the libertarian position shouldn't be, the government doesn't control the borders at all. That there should be some restriction, I think. But they have to, like, make that case on libertarian grounds that, oh, actually, here's a justification for the state to perform some aggressive action. And, like, okay, that's hard to do if you're a libertarian, so by all means do it, but they don't even attempt to do it. So it's like, on the one hand, a lot of these people are calling us, you know, losers for being libertarians, but then they're like appealing to Hoppe and Ron Paul and maybe Rothbard sometimes to like try to make.
Well, I've actually heard people say I used to be libertarian, then I read Hoppe, and now I'm a Hoppian.
Right, which is pretty good. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. Like, it's so, the arguments from the other side are so disjointed. And so confused and nonsensical. It's like, well, what are you guys even trying to say or do? Like, what's your argument? I think a lot of it's, what was I, man, I just kind of lost the point I was going to make. This is what happens when you wake up and do a podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Slappy, do you want to talk about this? Okay, let's record.
When you're talking about them appealing to libertarians, and then I jumped in and said, they're not libertarians, they're Hoppians.
Right. Man, this is great podcasting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But okay, I don't remember what I was going to say there, but one of the things I've been seeing is that they're trying to make the case that the borderland is, it's the, it's, cause we're saying like, okay, so, cause I made the point the other day, I made a tweet that said, hey, if you support the government enforcing, government borders, then you either have to be a socialist or a fascist, because a socialist would say that the government owns that property and therefore can make the rules as they want it. And a fascist would say, all right, well, a private property owner or a private person may own that property, but the government gets to decide what the rules are for it. Not really aware of any, you know, it can't be a capitalist free market system where the government intrudes on the rights and decisions that a private property owner is going to make about his property. So I think it has to be one of those two things. But a lot of people will retort back and say, well, okay, like, yes, the government stole that property, and so they're claiming it to be public property, but that doesn't exist. But There's still a valid ownership claim of the taxpayers on that property. And so while the government doesn't recognize the taxpayers as the owners of the property, that's who is the legitimate owner. And so it's like, okay, like that may or may not be true.
Well, yeah. Well, the funny thing about that too, when they say like the government has to act as the owner, so therefore shut the borders. Well, the reason it's an issue and a debate is some people say don't shut the borders. Like,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's not just because you want the government to act as if it was owning, like you were the property owner. By the case you're making, there's people who want it open.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, the government should act like they're the property owner and I want it closed. Well, someone else is over here saying I want an open border.
Right. So, what is it?
So, right. Like, I don't get that.
That's absolutely that's a good point. And it's funny because they just assume that, like,
well, they're supposed to be the property owner, so they're going to do what I say. It's like, mm-hmm. No, that's, I mean, sure, but that's not how, like, by your own logic here, your own reasoning, that doesn't make sense.
Right. But even still, they're not even, like, the point I was making right before you jumped in was that's not even, like, they're not even getting to that point. They're just saying that, well, I guess it's related, but they're saying, well, it's therefore it's the, you know, the taxpayers own it. Okay, like maybe, but then why does that mean that you get to restrict immigration across that land? Because there's plenty of other public property out there, mm-hmm. that have been stolen or not allowed to be homesteaded by people. And so like what happens there? Like a public park. That property is, it's not legitimately owned by the government, but I think most people are interested in like allowing whoever to use it.
Like,
obviously I know there's a difference between people going into a town and using a park versus going across from Mexico to the United States, but like, okay. Like, yeah. There's still not an obvious determination of how people are going to decide to use something. And also, like, and that brings up another point. Like, I'm sitting here, well, not right now, but I live in Pennsylvania, and like, how much of my say should be given about the border in Texas? Because my tax dollars go to the federal government and are used to enforce the borders, because I don't think it's the state of Texas is enforcing.
I don't think so. I think that's all federal, because the Border Patrol is federal.
Right.
And I think they own the land around the border.
Right. So like, who gets to say, like, is it the local? But this is why it's just like, it's not so obvious. You just make that, okay, well, in a situation where, you know, there's five of us and someone robs all of our homes and steals $100 from each of us. And so he goes and buys something for $500. It would make sense that, okay, we would, and if he gets arrested and the thing that he bought gets confiscated, all right, the five of us would have the best claim to that $500 item, and we would have to figure out what to do with it to try to make us whole if there were no other way for him to pay restitution back. Let's say he died and he had no money to his name, no insurance or anything. The only thing that we could recover the value from would be the item, the $500 item that he bought. Now maybe we could divide it into five equal pieces. Maybe dividing it destroys it. maybe selling it doesn't recoup the $500 again. So we'd have to figure out a way to deal with that problem. And you could probably see, if it were five friends, it would probably be pretty easy to figure out. Five strangers, it gets a little bit hairier. Now we're talking about how many millions of people have to figure out what our collective will is and how we're going to figure,
And like, really, what should my opinion be on the border in Texas or Arizona? Like, I live nowhere near there.
Right. But there's a good chance that you're paying more
into that
public land, if you will, than a lot of the people that live there.
Sure.
Now, that's not to say that, like, they shouldn't have a greater say because they're local to it.
And, well, I would put it this way. I would, like, who cares about my opinion? I get the whole, like, paying taxes thing. I would certainly listen. Like, if I was in El Paso and everyone there was like, yeah, no, I don't care, they can come over, then I would probably be like, cool, yeah, whatever. And if they were like, this is destroying my city and the crime and the, you know, homeless and whatever, and we need to do something, I'd probably be more willing to listen to them.
Yeah, I feel like the bigger, and again, I don't live down there. I don't know exactly what the problems are. But I feel like the problems are more in like the liberal sanctuary cities where they don't like prosecute crimes in general.
Yeah.
And so, yes, bad people will go to places where they're not going to get in trouble for doing bad things.
And you're seeing that. I mean, I was out in Portland, Oregon 6 months ago, whenever that was. And that's what Portland is now. It's just a sanctuary where you do whatever you want. And now it's just drugs everywhere, all the time, middle of the day, homeless everywhere, tents everywhere. Even in like downtown Portland, there's tent cities.
Yeah.
Like, it's really depressing to go there. But I think what happens is people move there. Like you know, because there's just no way. These are all Portlanders. I'm guessing, like, if I was going to be down on my luck or whatever, had nowhere, no direction in life, it's like you hop on an Amtrak to the West Coast and find my way to Portland and I'll make it there. I think that's what it is. And I anecdotally know of people who have done that.
Yeah. So if there's a lot of places, I mean, a lot of these people that are coming or crossing the borders are doing it for work to make money. And so how many of these places along the border are like, no, this immigration is important for our local economy. We need low-skilled, low-paid people to do stuff.
I was thinking about sorry to just completely cut you off, but I do think that, and I might be wrong about this, but I think that's kind of like our situation here is the immigrants – illegal immigrants we have probably all been invited.
I have a ton of Latin Americans that live in my neighborhood around where I live.
Not necessarily in my, well, not necessarily in my neighborhood, but not far from here. And I used to do Uber and a lot of them work in the restaurants, you know, and giving them rides home and striking up conversations, interesting conversations. Like, at least in this area, the immigrants I'm aware of, I don't hang out. Like, I don't hang out with them on weekends, but they seem to be working. They're not causing crime. They're not a burden on anyone as far as I can tell. They live in the general, like a little more rural, a little north of here. Not that I would have a problem with someone in my neighborhood either, but just the point is they're not causing problems as far as I can tell. And they typically have jobs and, through my, again, conversations I've had, it's like, you know, a lot of times they're sending money back home when they get the rest of the family up. Some of them have plans to move back home. You know, they're coming here for work for the time. A lot of them, it was a family member who moved up here and told them to come up. So, you know, I think that's probably a different situation than you know, hypothetically, if we just got like 10,000 people dumped on the town and it's like, go find something to do. Whereas if you're making it up to the Northeast, well, we don't live near the border. You're probably invited. You probably have a job or at least a place to live. You're not just coming in and sitting down. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, or if that's even
a point. No, it does. It does. And that's why you can't like treat all this stuff as a monolith. And also be careful that like when you see the immigration caravan trying to come across the border, it's like that's just probably, you know, there's a 99% chance that that is just like propaganda.
That's what I was thinking too. And as I was saying, my example, like 10,000 people getting dumped on you, I had that picture in my mind from like a week or two ago where they're like, Guatemala, 10,000 people like starting their march north. And I was thinking, like, there's no way. I mean, is that really true? Or like, what's going to happen?
It said that all Iraqis and Afghanis had AK-47s for arms.
Yeah.
So
and it's had plenty of ammunition like, too, I guess.
You know, they try to make these like super obvious claims about things that like, but it doesn't make any sense. Like we were saying, like, what is the immigrant coming up for? Where is he going? What is he doing? It's not obvious that he's going up here to like commit crimes. And if he does, and he's getting away with committing crimes, probably your local community is getting away with crimes too. So like shame on the enforcement of property crimes by the local government. I mean, all of these problems are government problems.
Yes.
From the public property question to enforcement of property, private property.
That's the thing. Like is a rape or murder worse if someone who is illegal is supposed to be here than as opposed to someone who was born here?
Right.
And I guess what the argument is, well, they were here illegally, and if we would be enforcing that, they never would have happened. But like you're saying, odds are it's probably the kind of area you're in anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and then one last point, because I gotta run in a minute. Is that one of the ideas that got brought up was this, like, this is frustrating because it's like, oh, well, you shouldn't be open borders. It's like, all right, well, could we just, like, have the terms? Like, I didn't pick these terms, but, yeah. Like...
You can't be pro-life if you supported Iraq war. It's like...
Yeah, open borders just means that, like, the government doesn't enforce movement of immigrants. Closed borders means that they enforce, to some degree... immigration. I shouldn't have to make this point, but like, okay, let's say the government doesn't control who crosses the federal borders. Like, there's still private property after that. And so, of course, whatever the private property owner wants, how he wants to deal with the movement of people across his property, he has every right to do that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if he hates Mexicans and that's his reason. He could be just like a huge bigot. Okay, but like it's his property. He gets to do what he wants with it. But I had someone say like, "Oh, well, the correct libertarian position is agnosticism on it," and it's like, well, kind of like agnosticism in the sense that okay, if we privatized everything, then we don't know what the individual property owner would decide, of course. But to say that like, well. Okay, right now we have people crossing this government border. So like in the one case, he can just move through it and just has to deal with the actual, you know, the private property owners once he hits that private land versus he gets hunted down and arrested at gunpoint. Yeah, I really don't know what the correct outcome would be. So, no, like he's going on public land is not a crime. It's a victimless crime. And just because we don't know, like, again, like going, this is the point I wanted to make about the, like the public park. Okay. That land is stolen from people, or at least not allowed to be properly homesteaded. And so there's still property crime there by the government. But that doesn't mean you go and arrest people that go on your playground who are from a different town. that doesn't mean you're justified to go, you know, doing that kind of thing. So like, right. Why would you defer? Or just like say that like, oh, well, government violence for a victimless crime. Yeah, that's fine. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, that's stupid. So we should absolutely be erring on the side of not government violence to deal, you know, with stuff. Right. All right. We have a government. We have borders. They're going to either do stuff or not do stuff. Yeah, they should not enforce victimless crimes. And someone says, well, should they try to stop murders? Yes. Every single person has the authority to use violence
to stop
violent crimes and property crimes. Doesn't matter if you've got a costume and a badge given to you by the state or if you don't. A real crime is a real crime, and victimless crimes are not crimes. Like, that's the libertarian position in a nutshell.
That's it.
Doesn't matter if you have a badge or a certificate by the government to do certain things. One's the right way and one's the wrong way. So that's why we have to use principles to understand what the actual, you know, crimes are and what aren't crimes. So we know when and when we're not justified to use violence against someone. So I do have to run. We could probably talk a lot more about this. We didn't cover a lot of stuff. There's plenty more to talk about this. I'm sure people say, well, you didn't cover this about this side of their argument. Okay. Well, we figured our time was more valuable talking about the Phillies for the first half.
So. Correct.
Maybe we can talk a little bit more about this later on. Or hopefully this all just kind of goes away and no one cares about it.
Yeah, that might happen too.
All right. I'm not going to let you say anything more slappy other than your sign off. So thanks for listening. Oh, show notes page for this episode .com/328. Probably won't be anything to click on there, but thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.